No, 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 because the enlightened, the educated, the scientific say, no, we're billions of years old. And we're all descended from animals. And then we wonder why sometimes our children act like animals. How did Jesus know that that would be a sticking point in the season of the church of Laodicea? It's all evolved, you see, man. It's evolution. And if you die, sorry for you, dude, then I guess you were swimming around in the shallow end of the genetic pool. I'm a statistical roll of the dice. Is it any wonder when the terrible challenges that are accosting our young people through what they see, their schools, their friends, is it any wonder that some of them say, well, then there's no hope, you see. I must not be one of those survival of the fittest. I just want to fold up and die. When the Bible says, you are not a statistical coincidence and happenstance. You, young people, please hear me. You were specifically designed and meticulously created. You have a purpose and a plan, and God knit you together specifically as you are. He loves you just like this, and He loves you so much, He's going to continue, if you let Him, take you from maturity to maturity, as Peter says, from glory to glory to glory. Don't buy into the Laodicean creation. No, Jesus says, I am the origin and the source of it all. It's the jillions of people over the thousands of years who have chosen not to love Him and not obey Him. That's where the diseases came from. That's where murderous rages and world despots and all the terrible things that happen. When God has the driver's seat of our lives, it's a different story. Verse 15. I know your works, but you... The works are one thing, but I'm going to focus the light on you. You are neither cold nor hot. Hey, isn't that interesting? The two bodies of water that were flowing into Laodicea. I wish that you were cold or hot. According to the Bible, there are three thermostat settings on your heart. Number one, Luke 24. Two of the fellows that are walking with Jesus had seen the crucifixion 3 days before. They were probably of the 120 that later in the book of Acts we'll see up in the upper room. They're bumming. Man, we thought for sure Jesus was Messiah. But He's dead. So they're cruising on and up comes this guy. What's up, fellas? What's been going on? And they say to him, where have you been? Haven't you been watching what's happening? Jesus was crucified. And our hearts are devastated. Oh, he says. And then the Bible says, from Genesis to the end, he opened the scriptures to them. And then they got to their house. And Jesus looked as if he would have just kept going. He goes where he's invited. They say, no, no, come in and eat with us. Please. And the Bible says when he broke the bread, they went ding. I wonder if they saw the wounds. You see, because the only man-made thing that will be in eternity will be the wounds of our Lord. When he was with us, didn't our hearts burn? Oh, does the word get you fired up? Here's another thermostat condition of the human heart. Number two, cold. If you're cold, that's good because at least I can convict you. Christians running from the hand of a loving God are some of the most miserable people there are on the planet. They're backsliding, and the thing is, they know it. So they dive into their old sins, and the sins have a little bit of taste of satisfaction, but they realize that it's not scratching the itch. At least when you're cold, I can convict you. Matthew 24, Jesus said it in the last days, the love of many shall grow what, everybody? Cold. Why? Because of sin. The Laodicean people, the abundance and the wealth of their city provided them so much opportunity, so many choices to sin, they took the bait. And now the result, they're lukewarm. What's the third condition? What we're looking at here, lukewarm. Here's the danger of being lukewarm. You don't know you are. That's the challenge of being lukewarm. The enemy has crafted a careful cocoon around your conviction. You think you're in great shape. You think you're doing well, but you're in mortal danger. Watch what Jesus said about being lukewarm, verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will what, everybody? I will vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus, couldn't have said that a little more, seeker friendly? It sickens our Lord. Because you say, I'm rich, I've become wealthy, I don't have a need of anything. Oh, and you do not know that in fact you are what? Wretched, miserable, poor, and blind. A city that prided itself in this eye salve. You can't see that you are naked. What was their other big industry? Clothing. Lukewarm people cannot see that they are lukewarm. They're convinced that they are fine, when they may be in the gravest danger of all, literally within danger of being in hell. Verse 18, what do we do about this, Lord? I counsel you to, number one, buy for me, and I wrote my Bible, buy into this. You've got to buy the gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. You take your ores of various kind, you crush them up, and then you burn them to melting temperatures. And the gold, which is heavier, sinks to the bottom, and the dross, which is the waste, bubbles up to the top. So you scrape off the dross, and then you turn it up a little hotter. And then more dross is released, and the purity of the gold rises to the top, is drawn away. And then you heat it up even more. And it is said that the smelter, the goldsmith, knows the gold is ready when he can see his own reflection in the liquid gold. I don't like that idea when Jesus turns up the heat. Jesus says, you know how you get out of lukewarmness? You're not convicted by the scriptures anymore. In fact, you may not go to church or to Bible study or to prayer time. Is the temperature okay? Okay, we'll go. Are the 49ers playing? Oh, I'm not going to go. It's whatever is the convenience in us that says, if it feels good, I'll go. Versus what we say around here, just keep showing up. Even when you don't feel like it. Hey, I got a radical challenge for you this week. Ask God for trials and tribulations. Instead of, Lord, lighten my load. How about pray, Lord, strengthen my back. What is 1 Peter 1 verse 7? Our faith is more precious than gold. It is tested and proved by fire. If you're not sure you're lukewarm, some of the symptoms are to worship and praise in the gathering of yourselves together. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly, not a casual word, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We've condensed it to WWPF, word every day. Worship as much as it occurs to you. Prayer, it doesn't have to be in a quiet place on your knees, although that's helpful. But you can be praying as you're walking down the street. You can be praying as you're waiting in line for Starbucks. A lot of time to pray there. And fellowship. Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. Well, you see, that's the thing. I like Jesus. It's the church that bugs me. I get offended at church. Sometimes people say things that offend me. I don't like that. I know. But sometimes God needs to offend you, because that's a dipstick into your life to see where the spirit level is. And if you find yourself getting agitated and aggravated, ooh, God says, really? Bet you didn't know that was in there, did you? It occurs to me that if we really took this to heart, what might happen in our families and in this city. Lord, I got blind spots. The Bible says so. I got Laodicean all around me. My culture is lulling me to sleep. Lord, would you shine the light of adversity on that blind spot that I don't even know is there? Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a son or daughter or a parent or a school or a supervisor. Maybe you get fired. Maybe your car clanks to a stop. I don't know what it is. But if you pray that with sincerity, God will say, well done. You're moving away from the kindergarten Christianity of me, 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 me. And you're moving into where I can use you. Because when I use you, the enemy comes against you. And when adversity comes, not if, but when it comes, you won't fold. Doesn't he promise never to let anything touch our life that we can't handle? How many of you love that? I do. So if you're only this big, God's only going to send things that are this big, because that's his promise. But are there these big things out there? Well, where do these people come from? They come from here when God goes, ow! What was that? And you don't freak, and you don't quit, and you don't grind on somebody. If you have been offended, first of all, take it to the Lord. Lord, should I have been offended by that? Or you go to that person. And if someone comes to you, brother, you offended me. Don't say, I did not. Buy for me gold refined in the fire. Lord, send to me, shine the light of adversity on my blind spots and see if I squeak. And the white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Clothe yourself with holiness. Hold your finger here quickly. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice. Give him, Jesus, glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife has made herself ready. The bride of Christ, the betrothed, is finally his bride. Now to her was granted to be arrayed in what, everybody? Fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteous acts. Notice the plural S. Acts, plural, of the saints. What are you talking about, Steve? For you Bible students, there are two kinds of righteousness. The one is the holiness or purity that is imputed to you by what he did on the cross. The finished work of Jesus Christ, you can't add to it, you can't subtract to it. He did all the work. Amen? There is another type of righteousness that is imparted to us. What is that? That's when we choose by an act of our will to not do sin and to follow Christ. Not to go with those people or listen to that stuff or watch those events, but I choose to willfully place my physical body, brain, eyes, ears in a place that is going to be conducive to the things of God. The Bible calls that sanctification. Get out of the old, get into the new, and do the best you can to stay there. This is not you jumping through hoops that Jesus loves you more. No. The imputed righteousness is irrevocable. You're righteous because of what he did. But the second form of righteous here is now it's your turn. If you live and put your brain and body in a place where Jesus talks a lot, you are going to silence the white noise of the Laodicean culture. You are going to hear him and sense his presence. Now the decisions that you make, they're a lot different. Oh, I want to show you this. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 2 and 3, miracles are being done. Supernatural is happening all around. Really, truly amazing things. Then they get arrested. And then they say, oh, you better not say anything about Jesus or we're going to beat you up or really make your life hard. In chapter 4, look at verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believe, that's the first church, were in one heart, one soul. Neither did any say that anything belonged to his own possessions. Verse 33, great power! The apostles gave witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were putting things together and selling pieces of land that they had. There's some reasons for that. Now chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, and he kept back part of the proceeds. He too had sold some stuff. When other people were saying this was everything, the entire sale price, Ananias put some money at the apostles' feet too, but look what happens. Verse 2, but he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part, laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and kept back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? In other words, you know, it's cool if you wanted to keep back part of the price. That's not the issue. You brought a certain amount, and then ostensibly, for the show of everybody else, I did everything too. I'm worshiping with just the same amount of devotion and passion. You've lied to the Holy Spirit. Verse 5. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. He died. Can you imagine being at that church service? So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Back to Revelation 3. In that room where Ananias expired, were there sinners all over that place? But they were saved by grace through faith. Amen? The imputed righteousness was evident by Peter's salvation and everybody who was in that room. Why did Ananias go down? He was trying to communicate, trying to pretend to be something that he was not. The imparted righteousness. It's way easy to come into a place like this and then you have people worshiping the Lord. That looks good. I'll do that. Amen. Praise God. Tears? I got tears. Look at that. It's too easy to come in and taste, sense, oh, I feel the holiness of God in this place. I want me some of that. But if it isn't really your heart, do you listen to the word? Do you worship with passion and then go outside and still do all the sinning you've ever done? If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, His righteousness is imputed to you. You're going to live forever with Him in heaven. He did all the work, the imputed righteousness. Then God says, all right, I want a relationship with you. But if you keep plugging your head into the world and to Laodicea, you won't hear my voice. And you won't even know it, but you're lukewarm. And you're going to die, if not physically, other stuff. Buy for me white garments. And then also anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. What was their leading export? Eye salve. You got to anoint your eyes. How did Jesus anoint the eyes of the fellow who was blind in John 19? He spit in the ground, made some mud. That's not hygienic. That's mud. Here's mud in your eye. It's gritty. Ow! And I want to let you know something. Irritation always comes before illumination. Verse 19. As many as I love, I what, everybody? I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous too. Here's another no-no word in the postmodern church of Laodicean climate. Repent. Stop sinning. Well, I thought I can't stop. You're right. You need to fall on the rock, cry out to the Lord, and unlike Ananias, who didn't have a heart to change, come to the Lord WWPF every day. Repent means stop it. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Who is he saying this to? Christians who don't even know that he's on the outside looking in. And your life is so full of white noise and selfish and yeah buts and excuses, you can't hear him. Holman Hunt, he's the one who painted that amazing picture of Jesus knocking on the door. Have you seen that in this garden type setting? In St. Paul's Cathedral there in London. When it first came out, he got regaled with all kinds of criticism. Hey, nice painting, Holman Hunt, but notice you didn't put a doorknob on the outside. He goes, I know, because that door is never opened from the outside. It only opens from within. Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as also I overcame and sat down with my Father. You see what happens when you overcome? With purity, there's power, you guys. There's power to kick that sin. Verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's all stand together, shall we? Tuesday, I was here at noon, like many of you, and Wednesday, I was here, and Thursday, and then Saturday, I was in my office, and then this morning, before I got here, I had a wonderful communion with Jesus. I heard him a-knocking, and I said, come on in, and I had a great lunch with Jesus. I'm still excited about that. And some of you are benefiting from me telling you the story of when I had lunch with Jesus. Can I invite you to have your own lunch with Jesus? Don't depend on me telling my story of how much fun I had with Jesus. Again, we're open noon to 1, Tuesday through Friday. Come sit and be with Jesus or in your own home. Lord Jesus, ouch, the Laodicean church. But I pray that all of us who have an ear to hear are sensitive to the fact the danger of being lukewarm is you don't know you are. So Lord, let the challenges touch the real hearts for Jesus in this room. May we buy from you the gold that was refined by fire. May we put on the righteousness, the white clothes. Thank you for your righteousness imputed to us. Now it's my turn. Get my head and my body out of the places. Let me put on those robes of righteousness. And then, Lord, the irritants of the eye salve, let it come, Lord. Because with irritation, only then comes illumination. Break the Laodicean thing over this city and over this church and over our lives in Jesus' name. If that's any of you today, lift your hand up. Oh, Lord, does that mean I'm signing up for trials and tribulations? Maybe. My hunch is he has already brought some irritation to you. And it turns out it wasn't about them at all. It was about me. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and then lead me in the way of everlasting. Lord, I want to be hot. In Jesus' name, and all the thirsty ones said, Amen. Amen.